I thank the Lord that He's with us all the time and He loves us all the time. When we go through dark days and difficulties, that powerful passage there in the book of Lamentations, well, the whole book is quite an experience, a real experience that a godly man had, the prophet Jeremiah. And this time of year, you know, from November to January, things are quite rough for a lot of people, both in circumstances and in the days being shorter, and sometimes energy levels are down, and more often than not, people will experience depression, especially in the time from November to February. But the Lord would walk us through those days and learn from Him, from them. The passage from Lamentations was also the kickoff phrase for the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And as the days are dark, morning by morning, new mercies we see. So as it's very dark, remember Jesus is the light of the world, shines that light so that as we follow Him, we have the light of life. Buzz Aldrin was one of the astronauts chosen to go to the first successful space flight to the moon. And being an astronaut, had to have all kind of things together in his life. He had to be a great scientist, had to be mentally and physically fit, good to work with others, able to respond well in all kind of emergencies, and quite a guy that the Lord put a lot of gifts into. Well, after the successful space mission, Buzz Aldrin felt deflated. He felt down. He felt that, he had been to the moon and back. What else was there to live for? And didn't really see any light at the end of the tunnel. And Buzz Aldrin experienced depression and being down in his emotions. There was a helpful preacher named Vance Havner who said there's three kind of days that all of us will experience as Christians. Three kinds of days. One will be mountaintop days. And we love those days. That's the days we feel close to Christ. Everything's going well. It's just a picture of heaven. And we can't wait to get to heaven because we know how good the Lord is here. Those are mountaintop days, and we thank God for those kind of days. There's also ordinary days, days in which nothing in particular dramatic that we could see is happening. God is always dramatic. He is there, but we can't see Him. We carry out our commitments and relationships with a measure, thankfulness, steadfastness, perseverance, and even enthusiasm. Most of us live in ordinary days most of our lives. As Ray Palmer, the hymn writer, as Fred said, he was an ordinary person. I don't know of anybody who is beyond ordinary in that way. And of course, the Lord is extraordinary. But those are ordinary days we follow the Lord. And then the third kind of day that we have are dark days. Dark days. Those are days when the Lord seems far away. We don't sense His presence. We don't feel His love. And our emotions are down. And so dark days are a normal part of following Jesus in a fallen world. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." And that's not just trouble from difficulties around us. That's trouble in our soul. Not going well with our soul. And so that will happen to each believer as they walk with Christ. And the prophet Jeremiah experienced this quite intensely. He was known as the weeping prophet, and rightfully he wept. He saw God's people go through a very difficult time in which the Babylonians came and wiped out God's people and burned down Jerusalem and just took over everything. And today the parallel would be if those who didn't know the Lord would sweep in and perhaps wipe out churches, for example, and we all wouldn't be here, we'd be off, carried away, and just a few left. And, it would really break your heart, and it broke Jeremiah's heart. And so he experienced being down and depressed in his emotions, as was mentioned in Lamentations. He said there were dark days. He felt he was stuck, and he did not see hope. That's one of the signs of if a person is depressed. I can't see the hope. Can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. So Jeremiah felt that way. People around you may feel that way. You may feel that way. And the depression has been called the common cold of our emotions. And usually once a year I get a common cold. Sniffles get you down for about a week or so. Somebody said you go to the doctor, you'll have a cold for a week. You don't go to the doctor, you have a cold for a week. But it may provide some comfort, if you go. And sometimes you get a cold and just kind of hangs on. I've known people who have colds throughout the whole winter. Sneezing and coughing and the nose doesn't stop running. Same thing with depression. Sometimes a short period of time, sometimes longer period of time. And Dr. Archibald Hart, he's a professor of counseling at Talbot School in California, a Christian school. He was on Focus on the Family one time, and he was asked the question, Dr. Hart, who gets depressed? And he said, everyone. Everyone gets depressed. And so to know that sometimes we're going to be in that valley emotionally, and to see it as, boy, I wouldn't choose this for myself. This is where I am. Might I see God there? And might He help me through this? Some causes of depression that you would experience are any kind of loss in our lives. You feel down, disappointment, physical causes. If you're tired physically and you run with a great amount of emotion, even good times, sometimes shortly after that, you will feel down. A lot of times preachers are rather down and cranky on Mondays. And if you can guess why, you could still, I hope to see you Monday sometimes. But on Mondays, it's a day after a happy day, a day of worship, a day of being around others, and then suddenly the building's empty, and so that's that contrast that happens. Sometimes depression comes when anger is not expressed in an appropriate manner, and there's a double-edged sword to that. We're not sure how to be righteously indignant. And so, for example, when's the last time you saw somebody really angry around you in church? Well, Christians don't get angry. Well, we hold that anger in, and so we get depressed a little bit. And the Lord, He understands, and He can help us through those times. Sometimes something in our bodies are happening. The thyroid is up or down, or something's a little bit off balance. But the Lord understands how we're made. He wants to be hope for us. One of the things that the depression should be noted is if you have times of depression or would like to minister to people who have them, hope is a real important issue. And in Proverbs chapter 13, God says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what Buzz Aldrin felt. He couldn't see any hope for him. What was he going to do? And if a person's depressed, to say, boy, I wonder if next week will be better. I can't see. I feel like I'm stuck not being able to be lifted up. And all the things that happen when someone's down might be a change in eating or sleeping habits that are a signal to you that, boy, God wants to take care of us at our emotional level. And famous people in life have been depressed in history, and yet God used them in a great way. Abraham Lincoln, for example, suffered from chronic depression. Winston Churchill, great leader through a rough time of war. Great believers in Christ have been depressed on a regular basis. Charles Spurgeon. Some of you have Charles Spurgeon as a favorite preacher. He suffered from depression chronically. Jonathan Edwards, who had a brilliant mind and was a great preacher, brought people to Christ in a new life kind of way. He preached during revival time. He also suffered from times of depression. Here's some testimonies from people in the Scripture who would express what we would call, boy, that's what being depressed feels like or sounds like. Here's one fellow. He says, I've been signed months of futility. So it's a long-term thing. My days come to an end without hope. There's that looking for hope theme again. My eyes will never see happiness again. I just can't see how it'll change. That was Job in Job chapter 7. As he said, my loved ones are gone, and what will happen to me? So as a part of loss, depression will come. Any time, for example, in my life where I experienced a significant loss, I remember Grandpa dying Grandma dying when I was in sixth grade, and just not feeling right for a while. It was a way of missing her. It's a way of God healing where we're at. Here, another testimony. The person prays, Lord, I've had enough. Take away my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. That was prayed by Elijah, one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament. That was after a time of victory. And he was on the mountaintop feeling great, but shortly after that, he felt threatened. And he began to see life not in a healthy manner. He prayed to the Lord, Lord, I'm the only one here who believes in you, and everybody else is gone. See, not able to see life the way it is, in spiritual difficulties, depression can come. Another man had this experience. My tears have been my food day and night. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? That's Psalm 42. And David prayed that right after he said, Lord, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. He said, you know, I'm just crying all the time and I don't know why. He says, why am I disturbed? I can't even figure it out. That can happen when a person's depressed. We can't always put our finger on it. Another testimony. A man said, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. We despaired even of life. And that was written by the man who said, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. The Apostle Paul knew Christ intimately. Wanted to follow the Lord and yet sometimes was down. So one of the things we want to be able to say is depression is not a sign that you're away from God in some manner. And you know, you don't want to look at yourself or look at another person and say, don't be depressed. That would be like going up to somebody and saying, don't have that broken leg. You know, they'll say, well, it's broken. How can I get some healing through this time? And so when Jesus was in Gethsemane, for example, he said, my soul is overwhelmed and sick unto death. And so that was a time that the Lord was able to say, I don't see any light here. I'm going to be apart from the Father. I'm going to be apart from my followers. This is going to be terrible. And yet the Lord would come and minister to him, and he comes to minister to us. And in God's providence, could you see your mountaintop days? And see this on behalf of others too, if you would. And your dark days under the providence of God. That He is there, and He will provide, and He'll walk with you in the light as effectively as He'll walk with you in the darkness. And He will use that time as a time of turning to Him. In Hosea 5, a great promise the Lord gives us. God says this, in their misery they will earnestly seek me. And sometimes we don't know the reason, but God knows the reason. We might be depressed. As much energy as we have at that point, we say it's an opportunity to seek God. He can speak to the troubled heart. And to pray that for yourself and pray that for others. Most would say, well, I might not feel depressed on a particular day, but you can have a ministry to others if you understand the difficulties they face. And here's some of the things that the Scripture tells us to do when we face down times, dark days. One thing we do, just pray with as much energy as we have. It'll be fairly minimal, but we can pray. You might pray, Lord, help me, I'm depressed. You may have the energy to pray that just in a morning and say good night, Lord, at the end of the day. That's as much as you could talk to the Lord sometimes when you're depressed. You notice if a person is depressed, they're not going to be huddled in the sanctuary here, you know, gabbing it up with everybody normally. Or I don't know what to say to people. I don't know what to say to the Lord. The Lord understands that. He meets us and works with us anyway. Lord, help me, I'm depressed. Psalm 119, verse 50 says this, my comfort in suffering is that your presence will preserve my life. In other words, God will get me through this. I have to know that before the trial, a little bit during the trial, and certainly after as He delivers. God will get me through this. And to know, too, that your dignity as a Christian is not based on whether you are depressed or not, or cheerful at any one given moment. Someone who's down has as much value to the Lord as someone who is cheerful. In fact, Solomon, who had a great amount of wisdom, said, "There is more wisdom in the house of mourning than in the house of laughter." In me and my ways and personality, that's not the way I'd think of it. I'd rather be in the house of laughter. But God's Word says there's something to be gained in considering sad times, because there's a wisdom to be gained there that you won't find at a raucous party, you know. Thank the Lord for the raucous parties, but also to know He will speak to me in times of darkness. Second thing we could do for ourselves or encourage others to do when depression comes is to know that people can be a source of help and a reminder of God's presence. People help others who are depressed. Now that's a tough one, because if a person's depressed, one of the hardest things to be is around others. Don't have the energy to be around others. People irritate me. You know, I don't want to be. But if I am around people, it does bring help. It brings help. It brings spiritual reminders. And so to try to push yourself and gently encourage others to be around others. I remember one time, New Year's Eve, years and years ago, I just had a horrible bunch of months, and as I'm staying home New Year's Eve and all that, and a friend of mine just invited me over to his house with his wife, and I thought, I don't want to go there. I'm going to ruin their evening. But I went, and all we did was sit around, eat popcorn, and watch a ball game on TV, and boy, you know what? I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Someone with a little bit of people presence can bring you along. That's an invite, by the way, to what we're doing today. Right? Church life helps walk through depression because you're around people. And that God will use others to unknowingly give you a lift. That's not to say, too, sometimes you come to church and you leave more depressed. Ouch. That can happen. But don't give up on the blessings. 100 blessings. One source of trial. Take the 100 blessings. Being with people. Ecclesiastes says, when two walk together, it's good. Because if one falls, the other will lift them. But to fall alone is not good. God made us a part of His body of Christ, so we don't fall alone. And companions can calm the troubled water of the soul. The next thing that can help you prevent depression and walk through it is to guard against unrealistic thinking. That you are the only one who have ever felt that way. You are not. Remember, Jeremiah did, and Paul did, and David did. And take their prayer life on as yours. Also, guard against thinking, you know, by the end of this year, you'll be just like the Apostle Paul in your spiritual walk. On fire for the Lord, 24/7, the sky's the limit. When you think that way or hear somebody say that, you say, that's not realistic thinking. Because if you think that's the way it's going to be, you're going to be disappointed on a regular basis pretty heavily. But to know God is with us in the ordinary. His grace is common enough to be tasted daily and rejoiced in. A few more things to help through depression, biblically speaking. To serve others when you are depressed is an opportunity for healing. And that's difficult. The Lord would serve you, that's true, and help you, and wash your feet, and bring refreshment. But as you serve others, that's going to bring new life to your heart. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I was comforted so that I might comfort others. And I've noticed sometimes in the body of Christ, for example, if a Sunday school teacher or somebody working with children or youth or wherever, when they serve in the midst of being down, sometimes the Lord uses them much more effectively than the guy who's on cloud nine and he's, I don't have any problems, you know, just let me serve the Lord. The second person's a little harder to relate to. But if somebody's serving while they're broken, while they're struggling, somebody says, wow, that's inspiring. You know, I know the Lord is real because they're helping so-and-so in the midst of a difficult time. So to serve is a healing time. Some people come and pray at the altar when they need special times of healing. That's good. Special times of healing occur also when you serve, when you are down. And it's a good medicine. And when you're depressed sometimes too, seeing a physician, family physician is a good thing. When I have a chronic backache, I go and see my family physician or whoever, chiropractor, and say, what can I do so this would not hold me back so much? And the person who is depressed, I can't work anymore, I'm dying or something, to talk to another man who's skilled in how the body works is a good thing. It's a help, and God will use them. And then mostly to use it as an opportunity to turn to God. If you notice what happened to Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations, he said the Lord's compassions would not fail him, even though he felt very down. And he said he would wait on God until God helped him. And to say, Lord, I'm going to wait till you walk me through this time of depression, or you pray that way on behalf of others. Don't give up on them, or don't say, if they were full of the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be depressed. Well, sometimes, again, they can be closer to the Lord than you might think. But to know that God, it's an opportunity to seek God in the darkness. And it takes a little more open-heartedness, doesn't it? That Christ would love me even though I wouldn't feel that love. To hold on to His Word. And to know He's with me there. And to Him, light and darkness, He could still be faithful. In Psalm 139, David said, if I'm in darkness, you're still there. Because darkness and light are the same to you. So God will help. He will help. He will be gracious. And Jesus gives us great, great invitation to find a comfort in Him. If we be depressed or we're praying for somebody else who's depressed, being a friend to them. When people were weary and overburdened, what did Jesus say to do? In Matthew chapter 11, He said, come to Me. Come to Me if you're weary and overburdened. And chances are this year, you're probably going to get weary and overburdened. But that's a door to come to Christ, who's our shepherd, to go in and out and to find nourishment, to find pasture, a nourishment for our soul. I have found a great friend in Jesus in times of, if I'm down or depressed for a bit, I have found a great comfort in Him. Not a quick change, but a faithful, steadfast friend. And I found that his burden is light compared to the troubles and things that you and I would go through. So this morning, for yourself and behalf of others, would you turn to Christ, see that the darkness as a chance to know Him differently and in a fresh way as the light of the world? Might God minister to each hurting heart here this morning. Let's pray together as His children. Thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of your word and Jesus, how you showed faithfully in the scripture, how people followed you well and you were able to bless beyond measure, and many would follow you even when they were down or depressed. And Father, in the mystery of our relationship with you, we know your Holy Spirit grieves when, for example, we sin or turn away from you. So we don't know, Lord, whether we'd say sometimes the Lord gets depressed about sin. And we would turn to you and ask for your help. Father, not that we understand everything even about how we live and how our emotions work, but we understand you are Lord. So we turn to you, we lean upon you, we present ourselves as living sacrifices to help one another. And to certainly be a Christian friend, Lord, to those who may not be at peace with God because they've yet to receive you. Might your Holy Spirit invite days of help to yourself, days of refreshment to folks who need a Savior today. And thank you that you're faithful and loving to give us mercies afresh each morning. Be yourself among us in these weeks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.